to the Gospel of Mark and read chapter number 12, the first 12 verses. Mark chapter 12, the first 12 verses. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, "They will reverence my son." But those husbandmen said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. It truly is a blessing when we as a body of believers can assemble ourselves together around about his word. And it was shared recently that it seems like it wasn't long ago that we were here, and then we are here yet again. And it wasn't long ago yet again now that we were here, and then now here we are again. And these are gifts from the Lord, and it's truly a blessing when we can be together and hear the precious word of life that God has given unto us. The scriptures record that since the very beginning, God had a plan, a wonderful plan of salvation, where Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, would come here upon this earth and be the Savior of the world. This plan was put in place from the very beginning, and it came into fruition about 2,000 years ago, and Jesus came here upon this earth, left the glory of heaven, and took upon himself flesh and blood, and revealed himself to all mankind, but in particular, the Jewish people, the Israelite people. He came to his own, but the Bible says that his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so Jesus came. He came to his own. And he began his ministry, and he was preaching to them the gospel and the good news of the Lord, that we can have salvation. And there was a wonderful plan of salvation that was put forth. But the Jews did not receive him. And they treated him horribly. And so it is in this at this time now that he speaks to them a parable. And he speaks to them this parable in this regard, that they are not receiving those things that God has given unto them. So he says, a certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husband and went to a far country. And I believe that all of us have been exposed to the gospel long enough that we understand what the Lord here is teaching in this parable. The Jews certainly knew it of themselves too. They knew that he had spoken this parable against them. So this certain man would be the Lord. The certain man would be the Lord, and he would plant a vineyard. It would be his vineyard. It would be the hedge that he said about it was about his property, and he had done that. And he digged a place for the wine fat. A wine fat would be apparatuses that would be able to process the grapes. And he built a tower. So it's all his. It all belonged to this certain man, as he speaks here. And then he let it out to husbandmen. Husbandmen would be those who would know how to operate a vineyard, would know how to grow the grapes, would know how to process the grapes, would know how to do all these things. And he rents it out to them. He lets them occupy it. He lets them use it while he goes away into a far country. And yet, it speaks here of this certain man or of the Lord going into a far country, but yet we know from the scriptures and we know from living a life in the Lord that he is not far. Though it says here that he went into a far country, he is not far. In Acts, it speaks of calling out to the Lord, though he be not far from every one of us. He is not far. He is near. And he loves us. Each and every one, Jew and Gentile alike. So, in verse number 2, it says, and at that season he went, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he had with him while he was in this far country, and he sends to these husbandmen who were occupying, who were operating this vineyard, that he might receive fruit from that vineyard, from the husbandmen. And so this is certainly something reasonable, that this husbandman, the vineyard belongs to him, and he sends a servant, go get me some fruit from that vineyard, because it's now the season. It's something certainly very reasonable. But it says that these husbandmen caught him and beat him and sent him away. And again he sent another servant, and to him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. It wasn't that that this man, the certain man who owned the vineyard, sent a servant to them once, and something horribly happened, and then that certain man came to the husbandmen immediately and destroyed them. No, he gave them another chance. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but over and over again. And then we see in the scriptures that this was truly fulfilled. This was a fulfillment of what they were doing. He was speaking of the things that they did. And as we go through the Old Testament, we see over and over again that the people of Israel rejected the Lord, rejected the prophets that were sent to them. We think of Samuel, and he was distraught because the people were asking for a king. And he was distraught about that. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and says, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me from reigning over them. And then we see in all the minor prophets, in Hosea, in Joel, in Amos, and in all other places, where the Lord is sending prophets to them, pleading with them, turn ye from your wicked ways, and no longer live in them, but come and follow me. In the book of Nehemiah, the Levites were praying to the Lord, and they were recognizing the error of their ways. And this is what they were praying, and found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25. And they took strong cities, meaning the children of Israel, they took strong cities as they returned from Egypt back into the land of Canaan, and a fat land, and possessed houses full of goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. They came into the land, and they received it all, even in abundance. Everything was given unto them, just as it is in this parable that Jesus put forth. There was a certain man that planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower, and then he let it out to husbandmen. The same thing happened here that to the children of Israel. They came into the land of Canaan. They occupied a fat land, possessed with houses full of goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they, the children of Israel, were disobedient, and they rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. This is exactly what Jesus was teaching here in this parable in Mark 12. They slew the prophets which testified unto them to turn them unto thee. interesting thing I find here is that they cast thy law behind their backs. That's what the children of Israel did. They took God's precious word and they said, we have no use for this. And they cast it behind their backs. There was a time also when King Jehoshaphat of Judah goes to King Ahab of Israel, and they're speaking with each other, and King Ahab says, come with me against this battle of Ramoth-Gilead. And so they decide that they're going to ask of the prophets. And so they ask 400 prophets, shall we go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead? And all the prophets were saying, go for it, go do it. You'll win this battle. And then King Jehoshaphat says, well, is there any other prophet besides these 400? And King Ahab responds and says, yeah, there is one more, but I hate him because he prophesies against me evil and not good. And so they call that prophet. Micaiah is his name. And Micaiah comes and at first he says what they want to hear. And then they said, you say what the Lord is revealing to you. And he says, no, the battle's not going to go very good, and King Ahab's going to die, and you'll see this to be true. And the other 400 prophets don't like him, and one of them smites Micaiah, the prophet, and says, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak through you? And Micaiah says, well, if these things don't come to pass, then you'll know that that I wasn't right. But if they do come to pass, then you'll know that I was right. And they threw him in a prison. And King Ahab says, feed him with the bread of affliction. This is what the children of Israel did over and over again to the prophets who were sent to them. And as the Lord is pleading with them, repent from your ways, turn ye from your ways, and live. And so the Lord here is giving this this parable to them in that regard. In Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, these are the words of Jesus. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, unto whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Jesus is saying that these things will come. And then he says with a heart just full of compassion, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto you, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus is telling them, the Lord God has sent you prophets. The Lord God wants you to turn from your sins. The Lord God wants you to live, and you would not. You would not. And you shamefully handled those who were sent to you, killing some and crucifying some and persecuting others and scourging others. And then Jesus says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The Apostle Paul knew that when he was unconverted in that state, that he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting them severely. And then he realized the error of his ways. He repented of his sins, became a child of God. And he writes in his epistle in Romans chapter 10, and he says, to the children of Israel, God does say, to the children of Israel, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I find that to be interesting, that it says that, it doesn't say that God stretched forth his hand, but he stretched forth his hands, plural, meaning that with all of God's desire, all of God's desire, he stretched forth his hands unto the children of Israel. But they were disobedient. But they were disobedient. They did not hearken unto the word of God. And they were a gainsaying people. They were contentious. They like to argue about things rather than simply have a heart of meekness and humility and turn to the Lord and repent of their sin, have sorrow for their sin, have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But they would not. And so Jesus brings forth this parable to them, and he speaks to them of these things. All these that were sent to the husbandmen, all these servants were shamefully treated. And then he says, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. Again, a complete, normal, reasonable expectation. This man who owns the vineyard is sending his only son. He's well-beloved, and he's sending it, and they'll reverence him. They certainly won't scourge him. They certainly won't kill him. They certainly won't do these things because he's my only son. But not so. It says, but those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. Selfish thinking about themselves, having no regard for he who provided all things for them. The vineyard's planted, the wine fat is in place, the tower is there, there's a hedge round about, it's all protected, and they can eat and partake of this vineyard. But they greedily wanted more. And so they do. They took him and they killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? What would be a reasonable thing now for this man who owns the vineyard, as he now comes back from the far country and comes to this vineyard which is his? What shall he do with these husbandmen who slew all his servants? Who slew his son, what shall be done unto them? We would think again, this would only be right and true, that he will come and destroy the husbandmen and then will give the vineyard unto others. Rejection of the Lord leads to destruction. And we see that through and through in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, rejecting the Lord leads to destruction. But that's not what the Lord would have for us. That's not what the Lord would have for us. The Lord would have us to listen to his word, not cast his word behind our backs and say, I have no use for this, but to recognize the Lord and who he is and his desire for all mankind. Again, the Apostle Paul, knowing his background, knowing that as he was a Jew and as he was even a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and then recognizing that he simply wanted to be a child of God, that he had a heart for the children of Israel. In Romans chapter 10, the first verse, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. That was the Apostle Paul's desire for the children of Israel. But they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. The stone which the builders rejected, the builders should have been the children of Israel. They rejected that stone, but that stone has become the head of the corner. In times past, as a structure would be built, there would be a cornerstone that would be placed, and the rest of that building would all be measured and built off of that location of the cornerstone. And Jesus Christ here is showing that he is that cornerstone. But the builders rejected that cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And those scribes and those Pharisees didn't like what they heard. They knew he was preaching that, or he was teaching that parable against them. And they wanted to do exactly what Jesus was saying that they were doing. It says they sought to lay hold on him. That was the response. They sought to lay hold on. Even when they just heard that what you're doing is an abomination unto God. The scourging and the handling of the prophets shamefully, and killing some and beating some. What you're doing is wrong. And yet again, they wanted to lay hold on him. But they feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. And he left them and went their way. So this parable certainly was being taught unto the children of Israel. How they had rejected the Lord, and how that rejection had led to their destruction. But the Apostle Paul also speaks of us as believers, how we ought to fear, because the vineyard, they were cast out of the vineyard, those who were disobedient and didn't listen, who rejected the Lord. They were cast out of the vineyard, and it was led out unto others. That would be the Gentiles, and that would be us. So in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it says, I say then, have they stumbled? Have the children of Israel stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, through the fall of the children of Israel, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Because they fell, we had an opportunity to come into the vineyard. We had an opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord. We have an opportunity to be laborers in his kingdom. Salvation is now come to the Gentiles. And then further in chapter 11 of Romans, he says, boast not against the branches. We who were grafted in are not to boast against those who were the branches, because they were cut off. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, he's saying, well, that is true. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We were grafted in. The children of Israel fell because of unbelief. The Bible also says that we could see that they couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And because of unbelief, they didn't take heed to the prophets that were sent to them. And so they were broken off. And we stand by faith. We were grafted in then. We were grafted into that olive branch, or olive tree. But we stand by faith. We stand by faith. And that faith leads to an obedience. And so we ought not to be high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. We come into God's house often. Seems we're back here in God's house often. We hear God's word. Do we accept God's word? And do we follow through with God's word? Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come unto him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Does that sound familiar? We had that last Sunday. We hear God's message. And if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. If they were disobedient and they were cast out, then certainly through our disobedience that we would also be cast out. He says further in chapter 11 of Romans, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity. They fell because they didn't accept the prophets, not the first one, not the second one, not the third one. And over, they horribly treated those who were sent to them in love. So on them which fell, there was severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Thou also shalt be cut off. So we are to continue in his goodness. The children of Israel cast out of God's vineyard, and we have been brought in. Now we have an opportunity to labor in his vineyard. We have an opportunity to heed the message of God and not cast it behind our backs. We have an opportunity to do what God would have us to do. We have an opportunity to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if we love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, there's no room for anything else to be in our hearts. Nothing that would come to be something close to idolatry in our hearts, covetousness, or anything. That there would be no close second, but that God would reign supreme in our lives. That we would love him in such a manner. And he's asking us to bear fruit. That man who owned the vineyard, he sent his servant that he might receive of the fruit of the vineyard. The Lord has given unto us all things, just as he has given unto the children of Israel all things. And he has given unto us of his Holy Spirit, the goodness of the Lord. And we are to continue in the goodness of the Lord, as he speaks here in Romans 11. We are to continue in it. He has given unto us of his Holy Spirit. And so we are to walk in the Spirit. And we are to bear fruit unto him, that he can come and he can see the fruit that is bearing in our lives. That he would see a gentle spirit, that he would see goodness coming forth, that he would see meekness and not brashness to cast out those who were bringing the word of God. All things are his. He has given unto us all things. He owns the vineyard. He has given unto us of his Holy Spirit. And he desires of us that we would not be as the children of Israel, that we would not cast his word behind our backs, but that we would place God's word to be precious in our lives. And that we would be followers of his. That we would love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Pleasing the Lord well in these things. That we would walk in the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit then would come forth from our lives. Love and joy and peace. That others may be blessed. And the Lord would be pleased with our lives as we continue in his goodness, because God is good. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On those that fell, there was severity, but toward thee, goodness, if we continue in his goodness. He desires us that we would continue in his goodness. To our friends, just as it was with the children of Israel, prophets were sent to them over and over and over. And just as it is for us as believers, that we come into God's house and we hear God's word over and over again. The desire of God, that we would turn from wickedness, repent of sin, and turn unto God. Likewise for you as yet unbelievers, you've heard the word of God from your youth, through Sunday school, at home, in church. You've heard the word of God, and you've heard of the love of God. You've heard of the goodness of God. You've heard of the plan of salvation. You've heard how God wants us to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire for all mankind. In Ezekiel, this prophet comes likewise, and he speaks to the children of Israel what God would say. And so Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, God is telling Ezekiel, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. Again, going back to this parable, the man who owned the vineyard, he didn't come to those husbandmen after they slew his first servant. It wasn't that, wow, they slew my servant. I'm going to go there right away. No, he gave them another chance, and yet another chance, and another chance, and sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And so he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has given unto us every opportunity to turn to him. So God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And God is pleading with all mankind. For God sent his Son into this world that all would be saved. For God so loved the world that he's given unto us his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is God's desire, that all men would be saved and come to this knowledge of the truth. So he's saying here two times, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? O child of God, O thou who hast been raised in Sunday school and has heard the word of God at home, at church, he's calling and he's saying, turn ye from your wicked ways. For why will ye die? For I have no pleasure in the death of the sinner. And so the prophet Isaiah also calls and he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is God's desire, that we all mankind, would turn from our wicked ways. Turn from them, that we would have mercy from God, and that he would abundantly pardon us as we turn to him and forsake the wicked way and come into the way of righteousness, loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves, walking in the Spirit, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come forth to the honor and to the glory of God. The Apostle John wrote in his epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is God's desire. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might be saved, as we believe in his only begotten Son, as we live for him, we can confess, I was a sinner. I was walking in an errant way that displeased the Lord. I confess my sin. I did not please him well, and I repent of that, and I want to walk in his ways. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. There were the children of Israel, there they were, mocking those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were saying that they were filled with wine. But Peter sent them a message. No, they're not filled with wine. No, the Holy Spirit has been given unto them. And you have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be given unto you likewise. And they heeded the message and they were, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be given unto you. You will receive the Holy Ghost if you repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways and love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself and walk in the Spirit and allow God to work through you, displaying all that fruit of the Spirit, giving that fruit to our Maker and glorifying him thereby, continuing in the goodness of the Lord. Continuing in his way. And he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or we could say, well, and you will receive the gift of eternal life. As we turn from wickedness. Rejection of the Lord leads to destruction. And yet that's not the way God would have it. No, not at all. And he was willing to pay a great price that we would not be rejected, that we would not be destroyed because of our rejection of him. But he sent his only begotten Son. He gave unto us of his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's desire for all mankind. This is what God desires of us. We have to fear and walk in his ways and please him well, giving unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name, bringing that offering of fruit unto him, coming before him and worshiping him in that beauty of holiness. Amen.
The parable here that Jesus explains is one full of grace and mercy. The Lord sent servant after servant to collect his own crop. It's his own fruit. The Lord built the tower. He planted the vineyard. He protected the vineyard with hedges. But the ones within were the ones that were corrupt. The ones from within were the ones that truly rejected these servants. And as John said, he didn't destroy the husbandman after the first servant was killed. Or the second, or the third. And we don't know exactly how many, but many were sent. And finally, he said, surely they will listen to my son. My precious son. And nefariously, the husbandmen, they killed him too. How many times will God call my friend outside of Christ? My soul, not yet converted. The Lord is sending servants. He sent his word. And over and over and over again, he's pleading with you to come home. He's pleading with you to repent. He's pleading with you to develop and to begin a relationship. And you see, we're all building a spiritual house. And Jesus is saying here that this cornerstone, that when you build a house, you have a cornerstone that's bigger than other bricks, perfectly level to set the rest of the courses of the bricks of the foundation. And Jesus is saying, you're grabbing all these stones to build your spiritual house, and you grab the stone of Jesus Christ, and you look at it, and you say, not this one. This one I'm going to put aside. But I'm going to take the jagged stone, and I'm going to take the stones that are not level, and I'm going to fill it with sand, and with mud, and develop a foundation that in the end, Christ said, will never stand. Because it's not built on the rock of Jesus. The second chapter of Peter is absolutely beautiful. He says here in verse 3, Peter says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, is not God merciful? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And here's the encouragement for all of us. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. My friend outside of Christ, are you confused? Are you looking and turning any way to go? You won't be confounded with Christ. If you build your foundation with using the cornerstone of Christ, it'll be level. It'll be sure. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of a stumbling block, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My brother and sister, this is the marvelous light that we should be shining forth. That our house, our spiritual house, be built on this level cornerstone. That others would see. that we believe and we have faith in a sure foundation. So let us build well. Let us build with Christ as our guide, as our plumb line, as our level, that He would be the one to give us direction for our spiritual house. May the Lord bless His holy word this morning. Amen.